This is the 1UP Network. Agents are go for a special Friday after Thanksgiving. 1UP yours.
Black Friday.
November the 24th. You're probably out shopping. Hopefully you enjoyed
it. Was that an Elite Beat Agents little reference that you threw in there?
That was an EBA drop.
Yeah.
been playing a little
it's
EBA.
It's a drop that you said with your mouth. I don't think that counts. Drops are normally something we would insert in post.
Oh, yeah. No, we don't really do. Yeah, we don't do those kind of drops. Yeah. No, I meant like a word drop, not a soundbite drop. That kind of stuff's silly.
I thought you were making a WoW drop joke reference there. I'm happy that you did.
No, like
that's not what it was.
Like loots.
So we got a pretty rock and roll show for you today while you're out doing whatever you're doing, relaxing, shopping, whatever you might be up to. We're doing the normal what you've been playing here in the first segment. John's got some stuff off the message boards for us as well. Second segment, we have the Ryan Payton interview we teased a little bit last week. Got him in from Konami and Kojima specifically to talk a little bit about Metal Gear Portable Ops and what development and journalism is like comparing Japanese and North America cultures. Is that right way to put it? Maybe cultures?
It's a cultural
kind of
thing.
A cultural thing, right? And then when we come back in the third break, we're going to have news, and we also have a huge thread about both your Wii and PS3 experiences hands-on. Let me hit the table, though, first. We have a special guest with us today. Not Shane.
A real
special guest.
That's right.
Shane's special in his own, like, helmet-wearing, wheelchair-toting kind of way.
Timmy!
That's pretty much it. Yeah. He's off probably doing something with a PS3 right now, right?
I think he's making a magazine or something.
He's in deadline hell now, so.
They're crunching.
Whose idea was it to do a deadline right in the middle of Thanksgiving?
Won't there be another one right in the middle of Christmas?
Probably,
by my numbers?
I already got them this year, didn't I? Yeah.
Anyway, I'm here instead.
That's Mark
McDonald, GameVideos.com. Check it out.
Chill.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Good.
Lots of Zelda strategy videos.
Maybe I wasn't done. I don't know.
Actually, I do want to talk about that really quick. Did you see on the pre-ad thing on 1UP, the Final Fantasy 12 guide image?
Right.
No.
With the reclining naked man.
Yeah, what the? Final Fantasy 12 is a porn simulator? I mean, that's like,
yeah, did you not know?
Just a little character art.
See, when these guys were talking about it and you and me were falling asleep, this is what we missed out on.
Because, that dude just looks like he's ready to just take Jeremy
Shane
Harris's
God.
Load.
So
well, and now that Luke's shaved, he can easily
admit
to
click.
It.
I don't know.
Just my face, Garnet.
Whoa.
He just shaved his face? Nothing else?
All right.
No more than usual.
So other than taking the razor to your face, what have you been playing, Luke?
Oh, God. Can we start with someone else? I'm still thinking.
Sure.
I've been playing Zelda.
You don't remember what you were playing?
I haven't been playing a lot. I've been busy. But I know. It's woe is me. Zelda, still, I guess. I'm still trying to get...
You don't feel like... Doesn't sound like you're feeling it anymore.
I don't know that it's had enough time to take. I feel like I'm still giving it. I think that like I got a couple of messages on 1UP about how people were going through Zelda and were really frustrated with the beginning, and they're like, the first half hour sucks, the first 4 hours suck, the first 6 hours suck, and I don't necessarily think that they suck. I do think that the game starts really slow and it's going to take a while to sort of like sink in. And I think that if it was any other IP other than Zelda, if it doesn't take you in 6 hours, you'd give up.
Right.
See, but I think it's slow. I would hope it's slow only relative to the rest of the game. I mean, that first, we aren't going to go into anything spoiling it, but I think the first dungeon already is brilliant. I mean,
the
it's kind of spoiled because we played it already at E3, but it's excellent. And, you know, you're in that first dungeon, unless you're Shane. You're in that first dungeon in about 2 hours, so...
He was savoring it.
He's taking the slow boat through the game, apparently.
So I was sat with the My Cheats guys while they were playing it for a while, and the thing that struck me is there's an awful lot of backtracking. I mean, there's a lot of like retracing your steps.
Now, was that them doing it for cheats, or was
no,
that...
No, that was just them playing through it, and it was driving them crazy.
But I mean, any... Well, I don't know specifically because I haven't played past the first 6 hours, but any... You know how those Zelda games are set up? It's like a Metroid game. It's like... You go, you know, through a world and you see something up on a ledge and it's like, oh, I wonder how I get up there. Or you see something, you know, over there. And then you get an item that allows you to do that. And you're all, it's like a world set up and new parts of it open. But a lot of it is just like different segments within parts that you've already been to are constantly opening up. So it is a ton of, you know, you go through Hyrule Field, I'm sure, you know, 1,000 times, and you're in some of the same towns hundreds of times, but you're there for something different, doing something different, have a new item, opens up different chunks, blah, blah, blah.
That's classic for role-playing games. I mean, it's part of the personality, too. You get drawn into the world, and by you feel like, you know, you're actually part of what's going on
there. That's the setup for those kind of games. So it's not like, you know, it's not like Gears of War, where you're going from point A to point Z. It's kind of the conceit of that type of game. And I mean, I'm sure there are people who don't like that, who want to be always, you know, definitely seeing more and more new stuff. But I mean, that is kind of what you get when you buy a Zelda game.
Yeah, I don't know that the backtracking will necessarily bother me. I have every intention to finish the game by Christmas.
So, there's kind of two things to me about, there's backtracking, and then there's just like doing stuff in the world where you're going back through different areas. Backtracking to me is like, means like, you know, you go one place and then you forcibly have to really trek all the way back through the path that you just came just to get back to where you were before, instead of just existing in the world. Metroid Prime, especially, like, big on that, where you'd go, you know, down a certain path, beat something, get something, bring it all the way back down the other way.
Yeah.
So, you play anything else?
Yeah, well, we played a bunch of Rainbow Six. John and I have been playing it on and off over the last few weeks, and that review's up now, I think.
Yeah, actually went up. Yeah, I just put it up on the front door a little bit ago, so.
Cool. I would imagine there'll be a lot of people playing that over the holiday.
Do you think that people are going to flock to that and abdicate Gears of War? I know the guys from Penny Arcade have been saying, we're done with Gears of War. It's all about Rainbow Six.
I'm kind of done with Gears of War now.
I just want to play a little bit more single player on co-op, but that game just doesn't, I mean, it's, like we've talked about before, it's great, but it doesn't have the legs that it needs to in the multiplayer.
You're talking about Rainbow Six now.
I'm talking about Gears right now.
Really?
I don't think that Rainbow Six has legs in multiplayer either, but John and I disagree.
I mean, a little bit. I mean, something that I think is going to surprise a lot of people is how much in common Rainbow Six and Gears of War have. In
the whole cover
system, the way that you methodically go through the game, the fact that it's essentially linear, like you're going through and there's like the pop and stop bits followed by the big battle in like the big set piece, and then there's the sneaking around and the cover and then another big set piece, and the single player game's very short. Single player game's better if you play co-op. I mean, there's a lot that it has in common. Mm. Playing four player co-op makes a big difference. Mm. It sucks the story elements out of Rainbow. Like, it's weird. In the past, Rainbow Six 3 was just missions that were strung together in, it wasn't even a narrative. It was just go here, go here, go here. And this, they've tried to build a story and give you a sense of purpose. And
they've never really had strong narrative.
No, and they should probably not bother because they're not very good at it.
Christ, that's ridiculous. It's Tom Clancy.
Exactly. I mean, this is kind of the point that I wanted to make, is that for a series of games, there's three series of games that are built on character-driven stories, and they've never done it. Even the Splinter Cell games aren't really very good stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what? Here's a shocker.
Do you remember what actually happened in any Splinter Cell?
No.
Uh-uh.
And they've gotten better. They've gotten better each time, but really, any Tom Clancy game that doesn't really rely on story, ironically enough.
He's got to be pissed about that. The Clear and Present Danger, that's a book. Yeah, that's literature.
Dude, he's pissed all the way until he gets to the bank.
Well, Rainbow Six, there was a book which came on the tails of one of the other... oh, God, I can't remember the guy's name. The main character in his books.
Dean Chavez?
No, he's the main Rainbow Six. Jack Ryan. So the Jack Ryan books,
God, that's
there was
eerie.
A spin-off where Rainbow Six came about. And in the movie, the guy that started Rainbow Six was Willem Dafoe's character. And Ding was actually in that movie. It was, you know, the one where they go and storm the thing in
Mexico.
South America.
The one where they go and storm.
That's,
you know,
that's the
clear one where the guys
danger.
Go and storm the thing.
Yeah, so
Patriot
that was,
Games,
that,
too.
Yeah, that was the birth of Rainbow Six. And then there was a book about it, and then they expanded more on it in The Bear and the Dragon. So the stuff in the games for both Splinter Cell and Rainbow Six have been introduced in the novels, and they're very character-driven. I mean, Rainbow Six is called that because there's just six of them. But beyond Ding, no one can remember anyone's name. Mm-hmm.
Jose, Alfie.
There's the French guy.
Momo.
And then what makes it even more confusing is in Vegas, it's new characters. And they're trying to bring up, there's this like tension between the guys in the squad. And one guy resents the other guy for being made team leader. And you're like, I don't care.
Dude, I'm going to die when they put romance into it.
Steve and I have
love interest.
I've often had feelings for you.
Yeah,
as I'm
exactly.
Running behind you as you're crouched over.
Oh, God,
your butt
no,
like that.
Not that. That way.
I want to plug you with my G4A2.
So they attempt that in the single player, but it actually works better as co-op when you're just playing the missions in
when
sequence.
You can talk dirty to each other while you're playing.
It does some cool stuff with the chat, though, in that it sort of lip syncs to you when you use the mic, which is kind of cool. Hmm. And I mean, it's a good game.
But, of all
I mean,
the Clancy games, the Rainbow Six on Xbox was the game that my buddies and I played the most. I mean,
closest to 3 that they've had since. I mean, the add-on to 3 wasn't that great, no. And then Lockdown was terrible.
And we didn't play... I mean, we tried to play some Gras, and it just didn't catch on quite as much, even on 360.
What's going to bother people about Rainbow Six is when they first start playing it, it's not... The first mission isn't in Vegas. It's in Mexico City.
Right.
And it plays like a dumbed-down version of Gras, and you're like, this isn't what I wanted.
Is it like a tutorial sort of thing?
It's a trial by fire.
So you go in, and you're on your own. You have to meet up with your buddies and then beat the level, and it's teaching you all the way the new cover system, which works a lot better than Gears of War. The fact that you're not hitting a button that sticks you to something, that you're pulling a trigger to pull up against the nearest piece of cover, it works a lot better than the system.
That was definitely my impression.
I ended up liking the Gears of War cover system. Like, I ended up, when I was playing through Rainbow, thinking, yeah, I could take it or leave
it. I was the other way because in multiplayer, it just drives me crazy that you keep getting stuck to things.
And you're running and clunk.
Yeah.
Were you saying that you're done with Gears?
I'm going to play co-op. I'm going to play single player co-op, but otherwise I'm pretty much...
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I'm right now still really interested. Like, I can't wait for this weekend to be playing. One of the things that I'm going to be playing is more Gears. And I don't know what the shelf life is going to be because of the fact you don't have the sort of objective-based games and you don't have a whole lot of options in multiplayer. That's true. But I'm surprised. Like, I can't see the end right now of when I'm going to be into playing.
Have you tried ranked games?
No, I couldn't get on.
Fucking assholes in the ranked games.
Well, exactly.
So you're saying that they're fucking assholes on Xbox Live?
More so.
I did
than
not
usual.
Know that.
The Gears ranked experience is just horrible.
Well, I couldn't even get into a game. I tried the first Saturday that it was out. I tried for an hour. I played exactly 2 games because
that's
I
fun,
kept getting
that?
Disconnected. It sucked.
That's great.
So really, all I'm playing is, and right now it's not a problem because I have so many people on my friends list. I can find an 8-player game.
An arranged game.
An arranged game with 8 players. And one of the nice things about the low player count is they're all people that either I know or somebody mm-hmm. who I'm playing with knows. And that is, I mean, that's what it's, of course, that's always what you want to be doing, you know? Like, I mean, it was so rare that you got a 16-player Halo game that had that, but it's so fucking fun when you're playing with all people you know, both with and against people.
So we keep beating that drum, Mark. Cliffy, get the damn support in there for team matchmaking.
Because if you want to get the achievements in Gears, there comes a point where you have to switch to ranked, and it's just
right.
It's
right.
Anyone with a big gamer score, I mean, is even more of a dick than usual.
It's torturous playing ranked games with the commoners. It's awful. John
the unwashed
spit his beer
public.
Out.
Damn,
well,
heathens.
A game that I think has a lot more longevity than Gears is going to, and I still haven't really had a chance to play it at retail because I've been busy.
Oh no,
Garnet.
Garnet
has been spotted playing it.
Yeah.
I signed on because I was just messing around with poker this weekend.
I think we've bored them with the pinatas.
And I signed on to fucking live, and Garnet at like 2 in the morning on a Sunday morning is playing fucking Viva Pinata. Like, his wife must be in bed, and Garnet's just fucking chilling on the couch.
Brian Gerard.
Some chips with some munchies.
It's so damn addictive.
Brian
oh
Gerard
my God.
From Bungie, I was telling you, like 10 o'clock Friday night, Viva Pinata.
The guys at Bungie, like, they're completely addicted to it. In fact, they sent us an email over with there was an internal thread at Bungie that they were swapping hints on Viva Pinata, because like apparently when the game came out the whole place just shut down.
We're actually doing a big story on it actually. Bungie's going to write a guide on playing Viva Pinata their
awesome.
Way for us.
You
awesome.
Didn't happen to look up the space station game, did you?
Oh no,
damn, I meant to do that too. I was telling John that after I played it, you know, all weekend, that it reminds me a lot of this space station simulator game that was had the same sort of wacky cool vibe.
Like Outpost Kaloki?
No, it was a PC game. It was a PC game. And I thought...
It was an English developer, and it had a bit of a sort of Day of the Tentacle type aesthetic. And we think it was one of the teams that sprung out of Bullfrog when it folded that didn't go into Lionhead. So if anyone knows what it is, put it up on the board.
It was a great sim like this where you know, you're building the station and you are, you know, changing the environment to attract people or aliens or whatever into it. And it's that whole sort of vibe. It's the same sort of vibe, even go back to like Dungeon Keeper. There's like a long line of games that have been like this, and it's really addictive when you get into it. And I thought the point you made, John, about how this game starts off like, you know, where you feel like your comfort zone is there and it's kind of, you know, mundane, and then it keeps layering on more and more fantastical stuff, so it becomes more creative and more interesting the deeper you get into it.
I'm really going to have to try this game. I was trying to trade something with Brian Itahar from EGM yesterday to get the
game. He wouldn't give it up.
No, he
wouldn't. Yeah, the thing, he's been shitting all over it, but he's taking it home
to
play.
I have a copy that you can have.
Really?
If you're going to play it.
I will. Because I want to.
I went out into the living room the other day, and Damian was out there sitting on the couch. He had like a beer, and the TV was turned. And I walked out to get some water, and he's like, "Don't fucking look at me." And I was like, "What? What are you?"
He's like, catching.
And he's like got the TV leaned away. He's like,
it's like catching a masturbating.
Playing Viva Vignette.
Nice.
It's really good. I really like it.
Yeah. I was excited because Karen started me off by sending me a Buzzle Gum, and so I already got my honey production underway.
Yeah, tell us about the Buzzle Gum, guys.
So you know, once we're all playing, you can really start fucking with people because the boxes you can send, you can just load them up with like really bad stuff and basically nuke people with it. Like, so when they bust open the crate, ooh, what's the goodies inside going to be? And it's this bunch of snarling, horrible red things that'll just go fucking batshit crazy.
Now, why would I
want
to do that to you?
Well, I'm not saying to me, but maybe if there was anyone that, you know...
Luke.
That, like...
Why would I want to do that to Luke? I like Luke. He's a good guy. You never know. He might send me something nice.
He might.
I'm just really surprised with how the game has taken.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, I'm really interested to see how it sells. As far as Microsoft having... You know, and we've criticized them, everyone has, for two first-party games, but when your two first-party games are arguably two of the best probably five games of the year.
And they hit such different parts of the market, and they do it so well. I mean, yeah. they despite the odds against them or the people, you know, the naysayers, they've really managed to put together quite a run. Mm-hmm. At the same time, two big consoles are coming out. You must have been playing something else, though, this week, John.
Well, I spent a lot of time Rainbow Six. I was playing... This is kind of old. I was playing Cars on 360 with my kid. That came out a couple of weeks ago. We'd been playing the PS2 version, and the way that it handles the memory card on the PS2 is such a nightmare for a little kid, because it'll say, do you want to save your game? Yes. Are you sure you want to save your game? Yes. Do you want to overwrite your previous save
that.
Game? Yes. And everyone, it defaults to no. So if I wasn't in the room, he would be not saving his game or accidentally overwriting his save game with something else. And so I'm like, you know what? Screw this. We're going to put it on 360 and... save to the hard drive, and with that you just have to say yes, which is, there's still no autosave, which is really stupid in a 360 game, but it's a lot easier for him, and it does look a lot better. I mean, it only came out a couple of weeks ago, but the models are much closer to the movie, which so in my house right now it's pretty much all Cars all the time. DVD came out at the beginning of the month, and I don't think my kids have watched anything else. So I'm a bit Lightning McQueened out right now.
It's that book.
you're dreaming about Owen?
Owen Wilson?
Wilson, yeah.
How unfortunate.
So that and Viva Pinata, Rainbow Six. I want to play Elite Beat Agents, but every store I've been into doesn't have it. I can't find it anywhere.
Target. Target,
really?
Man, for the win.
I've stopped at a Best Buy, Circuit City. They've all sold out.
Target I was in the other day had like stacks of them. But
yeah.
A quick question, because I've seen it on our boards, people talking about... kids games and mm-hmm. adults who listen, you know, talking about games for the children. What's like the state, you're talking about playing Cars, what's the state of games for a younger audience? It used to be like, you know, like you'd see a title like Cars and you'd be like, oh, it's a throwaway, it's obviously just a cash in. Are they actually putting effort in these games now? Are they making real games out of them? Are they still just, you know, licensed cash ins?
Cars is great. In fact, I started because we switched and we needed to get him further through it so he could unlock the other cars and stuff. I actually found myself playing it at night and playing through the story mode and actually having a reasonably good time with it, because I wanted him to be able to get up in the morning, because he plays in the morning. He comes
right.
And I wanted him to be able to open stuff up, and I was playing through, because it's a big open world game. It's developed by Rainbow, who are really good at the big open stuff.
The guys who did Motocross.
Yeah.
Madness. Wow.
So it's a really nicely done game. It's a big open environment, tons of mini games.
But here's
it's rare for a game to be that
yeah.
good.
But my question is, like, is there a game, or is this game, I'm sure, I think I know the answer to this, but Pixar movies, right, you mm-hmm. would go to even if you didn't have kids.
Yeah.
Because you enjoy them as an adult, on an adult level, even though it's kid-friendly. I don't think I don't think we see games like that very often. I mean, Viva Pinata, maybe, but
it's
really rare.
Viva Pinata was marketed all wrong. Because it isn't really a kid. It's way too complex.
Yeah,
for a
see,
kid's
so
game.
That's the difficulty. Like, a cartoon can work on those two levels like that. I think it's much harder for a game to work on those both levels.
Because, I mean, it really does. I mean, Viva Pinata plays a bit like The Sims does on console. The whole sort of the icon stuck to the ground, and you're moving it around that way. And there's no real big meta way to play it. You find yourself, once you get really into it and really far in, you do want to draw back and be able to manage the whole garden from a top level. And when you've reached that point, you are well beyond the patience of the average 4, 5, 6 right. year old kid.
Oh yeah, and the number of layers that it has in management tools.
Kids like naming the creatures and helping you arrange the garden or whatever, but when it comes to the micromanagement and the insanity of it, they're just going to be like, I don't know.
Better than Animal
Way
Crossing.
Too much. Well, Animal Crossing, you can pick a linear path through Animal Crossing, though, right?
I mean,
I think well, we were talking about this the other day too. The comparisons to Animal Crossing are really very thin.
Yeah, and the comparisons to Harvest Moon as well. I mean, they're on the periphery of what Viva does, but the core of it is The Sims.
Yeah, the core of it's really The Sims, especially the console version.
Man, I wish I had a time machine like to go back 4 months to tell oh all God. Of us how much we would be talking about
yeah.
Viva Pinata.
We were talking
it's amazing.
Some, when you guys came back from
Leipzig and saw
Leipzig,
the video,
it was like, oh my God, it looks like ass.
It's dog shit.
We were talking serious noise
for
on that.
For the past year, I mean, ever since it was first seen, it was just
when
a
they
very...
came out here and Shane Kim and Jim Viva came out and showed it to us at Microsoft's office in San Francisco. And it was me, Shu, and Sam went to this meeting, and it was this big conference table, and we sat down, they got to show you the new IP from Rare. And we'd heard rumors that it had pinatas in it, and we were like, huh? And they showed it to us, and at the end they were like, so, what do you think? And, like, the sort of polite indifference that we showed was just sort of, yeah.
It was like that PS3 discussion on the 1UP show.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. We don't really understand what it is that you're going for, but, yeah, we hope it works out for you. Bye.
God. So speaking of PS3, Mark, you have yours. What are you playing?
Yeah, I did try out Resistance, which actually, opposite to what I thought, I think multiplayer is complete. Like, I mean, it's there, it's fine, but I can take it or leave it. I got too much else to play, and I'm enjoying single player a little more than I thought I would. I think it's the best game for that system, but I don't think it's a killer app. I will say, like, hooking up my PS3, getting through that whole rigmarole was just a pain in the ass.
Why?
Getting it online, everything. God damn, it was a bitch. Like, just even, like, the password. Like, getting your password, you can't have something like two letters or numbers, more than two letters or numbers that are the same.
Why do they insist on using that stupid PSP cell phone texting system?
I hate it. And the cross-media bar...
You don't like the T9?
Oh, fuck it. I mean, Jesus.
Fuck that. And the cross-media bar, I'm sorry, it is bad UI. Like, it really makes me sad that, like, you can't even see the past two options above or below what you're doing. And some of the, I think it's the memory card one, doesn't even have, unlike all the rest, it's not even consistent. It
but
doesn't
Mark, the
have...
the backgrounds will change color by month.
Shit, I did not know that. I take back what I said.
I can't wait for December. It's going to be awesome.
I just...
When it goes green, it's all Christmassy. Dude. Yeah.
I was just really surprised what a bitch it was. I mean, I'm complaining a lot. Honestly, it took me like 40 minutes or something. I'm complaining a lot for something that took me 40 minutes, but it was not fun 40 minutes, and it was just way too hard. I mean, it was just I didn't like it. I was not happy with it, with that at all.
Are you happy with the PS3 right now?
I mean, I'm happy that I have one. I'm happy that I was able to get one, but honestly, it's been played the least this past week. I've been playing, still playing Gears. I'm kind of saving the single player for my new TV. I refuse to go past Act 1, but I was playing that co-op the first time through, which I think is absolutely the way to play it. Having an absolute blast with that and online.
Because you finished the first, you got through the first part of co-op, and you thought that you were like 40% through the game.
Yeah, I thought I was like at Act 3 or something, and apparently I'm just at Act 1.
Have you played any split-screen co-op on Resistance?
No.
It's so weird because it's a single-player game, right? And it's all built around Alan Hale, and all of a sudden when you go and play split-screen multiplayer, there's this bizarre, strange black dude who's playing with you. He has no introduction. He's just there running along with you. All the cutscenes and everything are still all based on, you know, the single-player experience, but there's this other guy with you. You're the sole survivor. Well, except for this other guy who also was the other sole survivor.
You got a fellow hanging out with him.
Like, wow.
Well, I'm also like excited because today, like when this comes out, not Black Friday, but White Friday, because Lost Planet multiplayer, there's a second multiplayer level. Yesterday, Thanksgiving Day, the free Xbox Live multiplayer downloadable level came out, and I'm curious what you guys think of this. I think this is a great idea. If you pre-order Lost Planet, you get a code that lets you download a second multiplayer level that you can play for free before the game comes out.
Damn good idea for everybody around.
Yeah, I think that we talked a little bit about that a few weeks ago, with it being sort of like a good way to incentivize pre-ordering rather than like the EA Battle for Middle Earth style.
Yeah,
there you go.
And any stuff I can play early, which ties into stuff that we'll talk about in the community thing in a minute.
Yeah, and playing Zelda, going to be playing that a hell of a lot this weekend.
How much do you think you'll play this week? How many hours do you think you'll put in realistically?
If I'd be surprised if I'm not finished with it on Monday. I would say, I mean, there's going to be like not much sleep.
So,
it's going to be marathon.
So you're going to be playing while you're eating turkey?
Sadly not.
You'll probably leave early
Tell Anna she can call Suzanne and we'll all go have sushi or something while you're playing.
I actually
leftover turkey this weekend, sort of like plate on your stomach.
Yeah, I'm getting a new TV, and then I'll have my old TV, which I'm keeping, because then if my girlfriend needs to play or watch TV or do anything like that, I figure there go take
that. Are you
gonna
set up a second couch in your living room?
She'll have to just take
the
roller
floor.
Chair.
This is going to go well.
Yeah.
So, John, you were asking about EBA. I did pick up Elite Beat Agents, and is it blasphemy if I say that I sort of like Wendon a little better? Is that blasphemy, Mark?
No, I don't think that's blasphemy, but, I mean, I think you're an exception. You know, the average person's going to want Madonna and going to want...
So the songs are cool, and they're the pop songs, but they're not sung by the same people, and you know what? It's just, like, the whole atmosphere and everything of playing this goofy cheerleading squad tapping the screen thing just for me goes along really well with the like upbeat, I have no idea what the hell they're saying,
right.
Japanese songs. It's like you're just kind of dancing along playing with it. Whereas like with, you know, with the American songs, I'm like, oh, okay, I know the song. But other than that, it's really good. It's really good. You should definitely check it out. Still has the multiplayer in it,
cool,
which is a lot of fun. Mm. The other game I started playing was Fear for 360.
You sound like you're
ashamed of that?
No, well, I have to be ashamed of it because I overscored it last year, you know, because I was so excited about the AI. And it was really great at the time, and the AI was really awesome. The problem with the game, it really shows its age, especially in like...
a year old?
Yeah, you know, isn't that a weird thing to say?
Yeah.
It's really...
So can it hold its own against Gears, Resistance... and all the other shooters
right
now,
you know,
Rainbow Six.
It slots in there like between Call of Duty and Resistance. In the seven territory. Which is good. I mean, it's still really good.
Yeah.
The AI in it is still fantastic. I mean, you still get these great levels where there's, you know, corridors and branching paths and stuff going everywhere, and you never really know. You hear guys talking and they're circling you and they're flanking you and they're using grenades and they're pinning you down while another guy comes around the other direction. It still has undoubtedly the best AI of any single player experience. A game that you'll play and you'll be like, why can't every other game have AI that works this well? But you know, just how many warehouses can you run through? How many warehouses and office buildings and gray walls and
I played the demo and I found it kind of dull.
That's the problem that sets in, is that you go through another office building and another file room and another room with a desk and a computer in it, another room with metal shelves and boxes in it, mm-hmm. and it's just ad nauseum. You know, it's over and over and over. The other thing, and I have to play with the settings some on this, there's like a weird disconnect between moving in the game and like feeling like you're actually a person in the game. They have like this head bob, and the head bob's horrible. If you get the games, first of all, start turning down the head bob, because the head bob is like, it's like stupid crazy how hard it is at first.
It's like walking as a velociraptor.
Yeah, it's like...
Good, just checking.
But even when you take that off, it's not like you're walking so much. You feel like you're almost like kind of sliding through the level. And so I played multiplayer too, and you can see that it's because like...
Is anyone playing it?
Oh my God, no one's playing at all. It's like I sat and waited and waited and waited, and finally there was one match that started. And obviously the three or four people who were playing in it knew how to play perfectly. Apparently it's completely unbalanced, because there was this one guy running through the level killing everybody with unarmed headshots. I have no idea.
Sounds
obviously
great.
Not balanced. The multiplayer was never...
Well, I'm glad
string.
You've been spending your time so productively, Garmin.
Hey, I have to put the review up on it. And so the bottom line is, if you're out there looking for a shooter, there are other shooters you'll enjoy more, but if you go and play this, you'll still be stunned by the AI. And one thing I like that they added is they put in this... I forget what they call it, but basically it's a mode where they take pieces out of the level and fill it with guys, and you can just run through it like a gauntlet, and it's never the same. And this is like, I don't know how many games could do this, where you just take, you know, various environments, put AIs in them, and how you start off into each level is how the AI reacts, and then from there it's just open season, because the AI is actually dynamic and doing stuff. There's nothing scripted to it. And that, like, distills, like, the good part of the game out. It's still fun. Still fun. I don't know. Bargain.
Didn't some other console come out this week and no one's playing anything on it but Zelda?
Well,
did you play anything else on the Wii?
I'm making me people.
I heard that's like the thing.
That's my thing. I've been doing a lot.
We've been rocking ideas for me.
Got some famous people. Got a little Hitler.
Did you do my idea of making the most
a little Hitler
Appel in Dante's Inferno?
Doing
all the people from like the lowest level of hell in Dante's Inferno and having them play baseball against Christians.
I have a start. I have Stalin, Hitler, Dick Cheney.
nice combination.
Rumsfeld,
Stalin, Hitler, Dick Cheney.
Lots of.
I'd like to welcome the conservative right to the program.
So factors
only. Playing against Jesus and.
Playing against Jesus, Gandhi. Who else is on
the
side?
You make Siddhartha?
No, somebody suggested making Muhammad, which I thought was just a terrible idea.
I believe that actually was Shane who suggested that.
Yeah. So
before we take this all too far, do we have anything like other than me and PS3 stuff off the message boards that people have been talking about?
Okay. Much. So there were a few things. There was a Boston College fan started a thread about GameSpot score of Zelda.
Oh God.
Anyone care to comment?
I haven't played the game enough to comment.
I liked how the thread was, they're the only ones with balls on the internet.
Yeah, I almost...
Because of one...
I almost put a GIF in there.
One review.
I bet you did.
I was going to put my vision camera picture in.
I have Dr. balls. Dangler.
Snoozle started a thread about the PS3 scaling issue, which I think we talked about last week.
Everyone hopefully knows now.
What I didn't realize is that it's a problem with movies as well.
The other direction, yes. So if you're set to 720p and you put in a Blu-ray, you're going to get downscaled.
If you want to watch Talladega Nights and your TV doesn't support a 1080 format, either P or I, you're getting a 480p signal right now. So if you think it's HD, it's not.
You're going to have to go in and switch. You're going to have to go into your interface and basically switch resolution output on the PlayStation 3 every time you go between movie and game.
That's Xander has a message which is mostly directed at you, Garnet.
Hey, Xander.
He says, don't ever, ever, ever... ever, 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 ever talk about the stock market ever again.
My pleasure.
Did we do that accidentally?
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of got into it last week. Yeah. We won't do it again. You Will Bow to Me says that he actually likes My Chemical Romance.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was awesome. Hey,
what's
Luke.
The worst that you could say? Things are better if I stay. So long.
To our emo commentary last week. The invention of the word extrafolus... prompted Extrafolus, spelt with a PH.
Yes, that was awesome.
As a
name.
New member on the board.
Awesome name.
New screen name.
Nothing like Extrafalus. He's fantastic.
Tolkoto wanted to call out to the point where he actually put a picture of someone calling someone out on his blog, saying that Bug was not a launch game on Saturn.
Thank you.
According to Moby Games, it came out on May 15th, 1995.
Shane pretends like he knows shit like that, and until you call him on it, yeah.
But if it came out on May 15th, 1995, then it was a launch game.
I'm sorry, say that again?
If it did indeed come out May 15th, 1995, it was a launch game.
It definitely was not a launch game. I remember.
So Moby Games might be wrong. There was a lot of discussion about the pay for a beta thing when we were talking about Halo. And some examples of things that people were prepared to pay for. Skiptastic said that he bought the issue of OPM a couple of months ago just so he could play the four songs of Guitar Hero 2 before the game came out. To which he was saying, if I'm prepared to drop $10 to play sort of, you know, whatever.
Four songs
out of a game that has, what, 30, 40 songs in it? Then maybe I would pay to play a game early.
They're
going to
make so much
money
on that Halo 3 beta. It's going to be silly.
And then lastly, last week we credited the stuff about Vista and Office being a paid beta to some guy off the message board. And I would just like to point out that it was Prime Rocks. Hello, Prime.
There you go.
We are paying attention.
Prime Rocks props.
You know, on that note of giving credit where it's due, I have to also... I kind of jump in here for a second and say Nick Callister is here helping us out with the production today. Skips back home for the holidays. So we do owe a thumbs up and a thank you to Nick for helping us out with putting this together.
Absolutely.
Just a minute, we'll be back. We're going to talk with Ryan Payton of Kojima about...
Games, Japan, stuff.
Kind of going to go all over the place. There will be some Metal Gear
and the one game that he bought when he was here in the U.S.
That's right. And I bet you know what that's going to be. So we'll be back in just a minute with that.
You're listening to One Up Yours, part of the One Up Radio Network. Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. But as long as you're here, let me tell you about EGM Live, the weekly podcast from the editors of Electronic Gaming Monthly, along with the wonderful sounds of... EGM Live comes action-packed with special guests, late-breaking news, fanboy-baiting commentary, behind-the-scenes tales of office tomfoolery, and trivia contests with fantabulous prizes. Download it now at egmlive.oneup.com or subscribe to it through iTunes.
EGM Live is part of the 1UP Radio Network, taped in the Ziff Davis offices in San Francisco. It is not actually live, and contest prizes are not guaranteed to be fantabulous.
All right, we've got a whole new cast joining us now. We've got Mr. Mark McDonald sitting in, always a favorite.
Yep, hello.
And he's here because you go back a long way with Ryan, right?
Yeah, I mean, long way being as,
Ryan,
I don't know.
Who?
Well, we're going to introduce him here in just a second. We got to get there.
2 years. I mean, we all kind of do
set it up.
In that XBN, once great magazine, right. Editor Ryan Payton here, now assistant producer.
Yeah, with Kojima Productions.
Right.
The big time.
Who you just got to see a little game from.
Yeah. They're showing Portable Ops.
Right.
Which is coming out in December.
December 5th.
Yeah.
PSP.
And but we were talking about XBN, and we talked about this last night. Like, I think it's kind of interesting. You kind of have the rock star, that Mark Wahlberg movie, rock star. You've had that kind of experience where you went from not even in the industry at all,
right,
to game writer, and right, then to working at Kojima Productions in Japan in the space of, what, like a year?
About 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
That's what we call a meteoric rise to the top.
Well, I don't know. I think I just got really lucky. And I started off as this grunt for XBN Magazine, reporting on, of all things, the Japanese, like the Xbox in Japan, which is
not a lot to talk about.
Not a lot to talk about, especially when XBN went from bi-monthly to monthly. I'm like, oh, damn, I got to think of stuff every month.
Especially when they didn't run your pieces either, and Che wouldn't like email you back or anything for a while.
There were some communication problems, but a good buddy of ours, David Chen, stepped in. And he became news editor at that time. And then we went back and forth, and I think we put together a pretty solid magazine with Luke on the team as well.
That's right. Luke also getting his start.
Freelancer.
You did stuff for XBN?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I didn't know that either.
XBN alum.
I did know that.
The first
Zip
when
pub I wrote for.
When we,
yeah, you were on there too.
You too?
Really?
News, yeah. Calendar, and previews. The calendar. Dude,
wow.
If you never had to put together the coming soon calendar for a magazine, you missed a whole experience.
Yeah,
a whole experience.
Skip knows all about it.
I wish I hadn't thrown away all those XBNs. I'd go back and read them.
Man, the secret garden where Ziff editors grew.
This is a great magazine.
XBN, yeah. It was like a cradle.
Yeah.
There's a lot of funky stuff going on
in
over
some cases. as you point at me.
But talk about how you got your job at Kojima Productions and how you're now a producer. You're going to be a producer on Metal Gear Solid 4.
And we should say, because a lot of people out there listening are always, I mean, one of the biggest questions we get is, hey, how do I get into the business?
Right.
Right.
I think mine is really a special case. I didn't go to school in the States, and I didn't get a job in the States. I didn't take that normal route. I decided, okay, I'm just going to go abroad. And then when you do that, I guess that's the best advice I can give is just go abroad or do something different, because you need to differentiate yourself and make yourself marketable. And what I had was that I could write okay. I could write for a game magazine, and I could speak Japanese.
Hey. Wow. Glowing. It's quite the profession we have.
No, look, I'm saying not to degrade you guys, but to degrade myself in a way that I don't think my writing is that spectacular, but I think that people would forgive it. If you have a lot of knowledge of the industry, they'll forgive a few.
Didn't you work on the Portable Ops scripts? Aren't you helping out with Metal Gear Solid 4?
Yeah.
Your writing fucking better be good.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You guys can figure it out when the game comes out next month, whether it's good or not. But I really do think we put together a hot script. It doesn't seem like Japan English to me. But that took a lot of effort, and that took a lot of work. But, I mean, to go back to what you're talking about, it really, where I got my position at Kojima Productions was a lot of luck. I mean, I'm standing there talking to a good friend of mine who works at Konami. His name is Aki Saito. But we're speaking in Japanese, and I had a little bit of an Osaka dialect at that time because I was studying in Osaka. And Mr. Kojima walked by, and he's like, why are you speaking Osaka, Ben?
White man.
Yeah.
Round eye.
I thought he was kind of angry. Like, you know, this is his thing, you know, because he's obsessed with Kansai. He's obsessed with the southern part of Japan. But and then so that's how we kind of started talking,
and it's Japanese. That's kind of like if you saw a Japanese guy talking with like a southern
with a
twang.
Southern accent, right?
Yeah,
And there's people that don't like it. There's people that, you know, they really, I don't know, they connect with it. And I think Mr. Kojo is one of those guys that really connect with it. And so that's where it started this whole conversation about, you know, why are you in Japan? Blah, blah, blah. And so.
And that was at E3? Or
that was
where
at
are
E3.
You?
That was 2 years ago. Yeah, 2004. Actually, I'm forgetting all these things, but I think it was when they debuted Subsistence. So it must have been, 2005. So that was pretty recently.
Yeah.
Hey, while we're on the subject of like Japanese culture, I got to ask you.
Sure.
So we just went through the PS3 launch here last week. You like had some funny stories about the Japanese launch.
You were
right?
There, right?
Like, yeah, the Japanese launch.
We went to go check it out. On November 11th. So that was, you know, it was a weekend. One of my coworkers and I, we got up really early and we went to go check out the line.
How early?
I got there about an hour before they started. So I got there at 6 a.m. and they were going to start at 7 a.m. And there was these kind of crazy lines all over Japan, but we went to a big camera where Kutaragi was going to be. And,
Shane. He was with Kutaragi. Shane.
He was there.
Look at Shane glow. It's like he just had sex.
I wouldn't know.
I don't know. Kutaragi's got that draw, I guess, because there was so many people there. I mean, people standing in line. And just to observe it, like Japanese media, Western media, there's like a lot of guys just standing around just to observe what was going to happen. And what we expected was something that, you know, it's like some guy who's been waiting there for a week, who's saved up all his money. He's going to go up there and he's going to buy Ridge Racer and he's going to buy Gundam and he's going to stand there with Kutaragi and they're going to shake hands.
Some PlayStation super fan.
What about Resistance?
Well, I don't think.
Not in Japan.
They launched with the PS3 in Japan. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, they localized that in time. That's pretty respectable. But it's what's not respectable is how Japanese don't really give FPSs a chance because Resistance is a pretty good game. But that's another topic. So PS3 launch, there's a lot of pushing and shoving. The police weren't there. A lot of people being paid off to stand in line.
Yeah, and so they had to go through, and the people you paid off to stand in line had to like meet standards. That was the part that killed me.
Yeah, this is not limited to a game hardware launch. They do this for the DS Lite, and they also do this for example, for like really limited edition shoes. Like, you know, there's a big market for those. You go on eBay and people are paying, you know, up to thousands of dollars for limited edition shoes. So this happens a lot in Japan where people who don't have the time or the patience to stand in line for these things, they'll hire a homeless person and they'll have them stand in line for them. But it doesn't stop there because stores are starting to wise up to it because there's a law in Japan that if you're not presentable, you can stores can refuse service. So these, you know, these homeless guys were showing up and, you know, they weren't smelling very good and they weren't looking very good. So stores figured out that, you know, they can refuse service, so this is going to end the problem. Well, the guys that are hiring these homeless people, these are, you know, these are private citizens as well as more shady characters. I don't
know. The mob, the Yakuza.
I think some of them are involved, yeah.
Right.
And they'll just dress these homeless guys up in suits, really cheap suits, and they'll douse them with cologne.
Well, so like a whole racket. It seems unbelievable that works. It's almost like a cartoon or something.
Well, so the first guy to buy a PS3 in Japan was this Chinese guy, and they tried to interview him to be like, what games you buying?
Yeah.
And he didn't speak enough Japanese to even be interviewed.
Yeah, it's kind of awkward from afar. I wasn't quite sure what they're talking about. But yeah, there was a lot of foreigners in line.
It reminds me of a quote like that I interviewed Reggie for EGM a couple weeks back, and I asked him about how the launch went since it's not going to appear in AGM until after it came out. And he's like, yeah, I think a lot of people waited in line for a PS3 to sell it on eBay. And a lot of people waited in line for a Wii to play the Wii. And that's actually seems like it's panning out. I mean,
yeah, if you look at that attach rate, I think those numbers came out. Was it today or?
Yeah, it was.
I don't know.
It's not good. Mm-hmm. Like less than one game per system in Japan.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, even the PS2 kind of went through that because people were buying it then for a cheap DVD player.
Yeah. Right.
And so, I mean, not too surprising given that history, but it is obvious that...
Although I do think the Wii attach rate would be pretty poor if not for Zelda because there's a pack-in game in America. So that makes people... It's okay not to buy a game, but because of Zelda...
Yeah, but you're qualifying that with an if statement. That's so dumb. It has Zelda, so you can't really say that.
Well, yeah.
But back to the topic. I mean, it's crazy to have somebody... I mean, a foreigner working at a Japanese company is one thing. It's an anomaly. Kojima Productions is another thing. Mm-hmm. Like, can you talk a bit about the work environment there? It's kind of like famously strict and
it's very rigid.
The hours are crazy. So 10% of the people who work there, right, every year, he has this weird like evolution theory.
They've kind of done away with that in a way, simply because we're expanding and we can't keep that system.
But it used to be, yeah.
I don't know.
10% of the people have talked about this before. Yeah. What was it like? 10% of the staff every year was not let go, but put into other parts of the company. And then another, I think, 10% was kind of put on probation or something like that. And the idea was, like, an organism needs to always be, you know, in classic Kojima fashion, you can imagine him, like, saying this to people, but that the organism always needs to be evolving and replenishing itself, and, like, the dead cells need to die off, and the...
If only people being complacent, you know?
If only people listening could see Mark while he's doing this whole dramatic gesturing thing to go along with that.
But, I mean, it seems like a very, like, pressure-filled environment.
It's a very competitive environment, and there are people from other parts of Konami that... I mean, they wait and they work very hard on other titles so they can get that chance to join the studio.
So do they all hate you because you're like Kojima's magical little white lapdog?
Wow.
Wow, Kojima.
Shane Ben has him charming, as per usual.
No, but in 2 years, which is
a meteoric rise.
2 years, right? Yeah.
And well, I've been in the studio for a year.
Okay, so just a year then.
Right.
You're now an assistant producer on Metal Gear.
I mean, you got to look what I can bring to the team, and it's not my skills, it's just my perspective, and it's a Western perspective, and I think that there are people, the upper management, that respect that, and they want me to express my opinions, because as Kojima Productions gets bigger, we're looking to bigger markets, not just Japan, but we got to look everywhere, and having a Western opinion and having a Western guy on the staff to, you know, offer up his opinion, it's going to help make the games more international. And
gangsta lingo confirmed for Metal Gear.
Damn it,
it's out.
Are you gonna be hookers? And we like
that's
hookers.
Gats of the Patriots. That's how you should change it.
I know, but hey, but
thanks, thank you. I'll be at the Roxy on Saturday.
No, I mean, you can already see from the trailers. I think we're getting more edgy, but I don't. That's not because of me. Look at me, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, guys, it's a lot of dead air. You guys are feeling okay, John?
We're pretty tired.
It's been a rough few weeks.
Well, right now everyone is,
you guys are listening to this. Everyone's out shopping or eating some Thanksgiving turkey or watching the Colts.
Playing Zelda.
That's going to be what everybody's going to be doing, right?
So when are we going to see, speaking of Wii, when are we going to see Kojima Productions' Wii game?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
You don't know?
That Waggle stuff's overrated, huh?
No, it's a great system, right? Right, guys?
It is great. And to see the amazing things that Kojima...
It doesn't work. You don't ask me the question.
You don't ask him that. But like,
I got something for him, though, that we can probably connect on.
Which is?
I went out last night. I flew in yesterday to San Francisco. I'm flying out tomorrow. So I've got just a very short time frame that I can spend in the States. So I decided to go by a local game shop and throw, I don't know, what, 60...
$49.99. It's a first party title.
Oh, okay. $50 on a 360 title. And I went to the counter.
Oh, I know what you're gonna say.
Have you seen the box for this game?
Can I get
No, be proud. Be proud. You are not too cool to like this game.
Wait, that's what she told. That's what the
that's what she
that's
said.
That's what she said. Like the
you
cashier.
We get a lot
she
of
said,
that.
"Excuse me, what did
Ryan? That's your like you my young nephew would like a copy of Viva Pinata.
No, be
I
proud.
I think you like the package. So, but yeah, she brought up that package after she realized, after asking me three
did
times
you have
what
second,
game I wanted.
When you saw the package, did you have second thoughts?
You know,
sometimes
I think I'm going to go for something else.
Something else.
But I'm excited to play. There's John's on board,
it's
Luke's
awesome.
On board.
I
respect
Mark's
you guys.
Still
opinion.
Stunned.
The package, which is so anybody who doesn't know, a curved top like. Colorful plastic creation that looks like Winx Club or Bratz.
It does look like something.
It looks
no,
like a box of
crayons over the
shit.
Age of 12 would want to have.
Well, this is what I don't understand: is that if it's got this edge and that it's got this appeal for younger audience and an older audience, then why are they doing a package like that?
Well, that's John. Actually, you don't feel like it's really targeting younger audiences.
Nah. It's targeting parents, I think, because it's way too complex for kids. It gets really hard because you're juggling like plants growing and pinatas and you're making them shag and you're making them kill each other and you're making it and there's all this stuff and you feed one thing to another to make it horny. I mean, like, this isn't...
It's more complex than Animal
I have
Crossing,
kids and
example.
They were like, oh, that's cool, Daddy. You know, you're making a garden. Nice. I'm going to go do something else now. And like, but you can play it in front of kids. And I think that's important.
Do they like the show?
they love the show and they love that it's colorful and everything. But the gameplay, I mean, there's a sweet spot, and I think every kid's going to be different, and it's not as young as people think it's going to be. And the problem is that when you're old enough to appreciate the gameplay, you're probably too old for the visuals and the vibe of it.
Right.
So it's only really adults that are going
to
dig it.
Because like a pre-adolescent isn't going to appreciate it on the level that we're going to. I mean, they haven't watched scrambled porn.
Right.
By when they're 10. No.
Maybe they have.
About 13, that's when you start finding scrambled porn.
Is that something that you find like...
scrambled porn?
But I mean, obviously 360 not popular in Japan, but at Kojima Productions, are you guys getting these games? You were talking about checking out Gears of War, but Viva Pinata, just to know like what people in the Western market are playing, what's popular and stuff
Our studio is a funky microcosm of how Japan should be, I think. Everybody in our studio, they respect Western games. When Bully came in, everybody got around one TV and they wanted to check it out. And when Gears of War came out, same thing.
What'd they think about Gears?
Very impressed, yeah.
It's graphics. Great.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks... Yeah, we were blown away. And but it's different. It's a very different game from 4. We don't look at it as a competitor or anything like that. And we're really, everybody's saying, they're asking if there's actually an art book that you can buy. Was it Destroy Beauty? Because everybody was loved that world that they created for it too. And so, but yeah, I mean, everybody's really into Western games, and it's kind of sad because when you look at the sales figures for 360 or Western games that publishers spend so much time localizing and they bring to Japan and they only sell 20,000 units. I mean, you got to wonder, what's going on?
How is that worn off on Portable Ops with what you're doing with it?
Well, with Portable Ops, I really think it's developed by Japanese for international market. Metal Gear has always been popular abroad, and I think it retains that. But there are always things in the development process, whether it's me catching it or there's another guy on the team catching it. Like, is this going to fly with America? Is this really what guys in Europe are going to really pick up on?
For example,
think of
Psychomant, name of a boss character, perhaps.
Yeah, I think that's
Hyper Wolf.
That's a great example. The name of a boss character. There was a lot of debate about it, and I had to keep stepping in and saying, this is slang for what. And, there was
Dong McPenishead or something. Guys, you might not pick up on this subtlety, but
it's like Deadly Beaver, not a good name for this villainous.
Well, actually, this is an interesting topic. Because,
where'd you get that from? That was good.
Up here.
No, this is an interesting topic because I think in some Japanese games, you could construe some things as racist.
Really?
Huh?
Really?
Loco-roco?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of examples of that. And I could tell you, just from my first-hand experience with my studio, I can't speak for other studios, but as far as work is, it's not intentional. It really isn't.
Sigan, his name? What's his name?
Sigan. I mean, they try to make it international for a reason. They try to put people of different ethnicities and different races in the game to appeal. They're not afraid of foreigners and things like that. But, they do make things that, this could be construed as racism, so we have to change that.
We saw
that.
The game Crackdown that's coming out with 360. In America, the main character is black, and in Japan, they made him Asian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
What kind of texturing do you change for that?
They change the whole model.
Just the
whole model's different.
So I bet that there will be an Asian downloadable content, American version.
It'll cost extra.
So you're saying you have to focus on it being international. I mean, does that mean that at Kojima they're shifting focus away from Japan, or is it just being a lot more complete with it?
That's a good question. I mean, it's hard to shift away from Japan because that's what their environment is. I mean, they go out and they play Japanese games all day, and they're surrounded by it. So I think it's really hard to make a game for Americans by developing in Japan. But on the other hand, I think it's taking priority. If I have an opinion about this, I say, look, Americans are not going to stand for this. They're not that patient. And if I say that, they're gonna change it because they want to take that risk. Because really, the market is much harder, hotter as far as these types of games are much hotter in Europe and in North America than they are in Japan.
Are other studios hiring people like you in Japan? It's becoming more important.
It's funny. There's always the token foreigner that you meet from every studio. So I don't know if there's going to be an influx of them. But at least for our studio, we're bringing in. I'm not the only American in the studio, and so we're.
What's the other American's position?
He's a programmer, and there's
oh really?
Yeah, and there's another guy who's doing script, and So yeah, we also have guys of different ethnicity that aren't, you know, aren't American born, but
someone's got to get the sandwiches and stuff at lunch.
Yeah, so we start at the bottom. But I think it's good. I think it's really healthy for the studio to have that. And I really applaud what Mr. Kojima and what Mr. Imaizumi is doing. I think it's really healthy for the team.
From the perspective of someone who's been on the journalism side in the Western culture, how would you describe, I mean, we always talk about how different it is in Japan, the relationship between game publishers and journalists. How would you describe it then from having seen both sides? What's it really like?
Well, I could have told you that before I came into the studio. It's like when I was working for XBN. It's just what you observe. It's very different. And that's something that, like, I was hanging out with Luke last night, and I was like, dude, don't lose your edge, because that's something that I love about game journalism in America, is that it still feels like journalism. Whereas in Japan, like, I don't want to bash these, like, the hardworking people that I know who work in for gaming publications, but the relationship between gaming publications and game publishers is just too damn close.
But I can tell you, the publishers don't like our edge. We get a lot of calls every day about,
of course,
our edge.
And that's good. That's good. That's healthy. And like, there needs to be more of that, not only from Ziff or not from 1UP, but there needs to be that from all the publishers. There needs to be these people who are outspoken. You speak your opinion, because you shouldn't have to worry about these PR guys calling you. I really think that, and I think it's healthy for.
So you think the press is a little too tightly controlled in Japan then?
Yeah, and I see it getting a little bit worse in America, but I mean, that's just from my perspective.
Really, what part of it do you see getting worse in America?
I don't know. I think
it's a trap.
It is a trap. I don't want to bring up specifics. What, do you not think so?
Thanks,
Garrett,
for cutting off my damn question.
Dude, that was so Judge would have overruled that question. I had
objection
to get him out of that.
Lady,
we had dinner.
Witness.
I think you should also, before, you know, time is almost we're getting there. So I think you should plug Lunar Nights. It's coming out in early next year. It's a DS game. A lot of people don't know what it is. It's kind of like soft awareness, I feel, out here. A lot of people don't know what it is. And like Boktai Games, which I reviewed both of those that came out, and I've always told all my friends, including you, Mark McDonald, that you should play this game, because it's basically Metal Gear meets Zelda with vampires, and it's really fun. And nobody
that was the original pitch, right?
Yeah, and
Ryan?
Nobody plays these games. And then finally, there's another one coming out on DS, has a lot of new features. I think it looks really cool.
Yeah, so it's a new IP. You know, we're rebranding it for the States. Yeah, it's vampires. It's RPG. A lot of RPG elements, like leveling up and leveling up your not only your character but your swords and your weapons, and it's a really deep game on DS, and it almost feels like we went a little bit overboard in terms of all these features that we're throwing in the game. We have this 3D shooting mode as well, and it feels like a separate game in all of itself. But what you're talking about with at least with Boktai is that it's a great game, but it's also frustrating if you're working all day.
The sun sensor. Yeah,
it's a sun sensor. Yeah. So if you're not outside, or if you're working all day and you're taking like the subway home, you can't. There's no time you can play.
You can't go outside.
You can't beat bosses. I remember I was playing when I was beating a boss and the sun was going down, and like I was like tilting my GBA to be in the sunbeam, and I lost the sun, and
it's
I died.
A scene from The Lost Boys.
It's bad.
So playing Lunar Nights, it feels a little bit refreshing to me, at least, is that I don't have to worry about that sun sensor. It's on the top screen of the DS now. We've got all these different weather effects, so it affects the gameplay. So it's a cool game. And yeah, it's coming out in February, so looking forward to it. Looking forward to what your review, Shane. I don't know if you're going to be reviewing it or not.
I hope so. I'm going to start playing it.
Yeah, it'll be completely unbiased, of course.
Wait, is that what we're talking about? The press and the publishers being a bit close together?
I hope that you're reviewing it, Shane.
Yeah.
No, old buddy, old pal. No, you don't have to answer that question.
But I was a fan
of this series before I ever met Ryan Bateman, before he ever worked.
You don't review it now.
Well, if we're running out of time, I was going to bring up a topic with Shane, actually.
We're not really running out of time. Shane thought he was the producer of the show for a second. He's assistant to the producer.
Oh, sorry. bring up the point then, whatever
you're,
it is.
You ready?
I'm not worried.
I thought we really bonded over today, so I don't really want to bring it up again.
Bring it up.
I was listening to a podcast from, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
And we were talking about the October hardware numbers from the States.
Yeah.
And I was listening to this on the airplane, and I was like, I just cringed when you said, hey, did you see the hardware numbers for October? And you seem really happy.
Mm.
And you were happy
about
because
the failure of PSP or what?
No, the PS2 did very well, and the Xbox 360 seemed to be doing very poorly.
But didn't it didn't the Xbox 360 like almost come close to PS2 numbers?
Well, the problem was in October. But the problem was analysts had predicted sales of more than double what it actually did.
Yeah, so. Michael Pachter weighed in with 500,000 in October. Apparently, he thought Gears of War shipped September 28th.
Yeah, I think any spin you might have thought was there was in your own mind.
He was smiling when he said it, though, just between us girls.
Well, maybe I misinterpreted it, but I mean, it seemed like you were kind of happy that Xbox didn't make it to that point. Because
I thought that analyst was a little bit overzealous with those numbers. I didn't think it would actually ever make it. And people who believed that it would, I thought they were, you know.
And the reason why I was
delusional.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why I was so upset about it is because, like, you should want the Xbox 360 to sell as much as you want the PS3 to sell.
I want everybody to sell.
Okay, good. So maybe I misinterpreted. Maybe I don't have a beef with you. Because it seemed for me, just from that... I've listened almost every week of the podcast that you're very enthusiastic about PlayStation 3.
You are personifying an entire thread of games. Yeah.
we don't talk about the forums.
As you see,
look, I can sum this up. Internet. What he's really trying to say is you need the 360 sales because that's where Metal Gear Solid 4 is going to wind up.
Oh, no, boy.
As I said on this show, and I'll say again, I will be surprised if we see it within a year of the release on PS3.
I think you said, I will be surprised if we see it within the calendar year. I would say 6 months.
You say six.
What do you think?
What do I think? Hey, Ryan, you know those guys. What do you think?
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 4. It's going to be a good game.
I would also say that Metal Gear Solid 2 Substance was a non-issue that did not sell for Xbox One. It didn't even come out in Japan, which is kind of funny.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well,
why would it have come out there? I mean, how many
6,000 people?
It was made there.
I mean, really, take a look at the install base and decide those numbers. How much does Portable Ops play into the Metal Gear Solid, fiction and all that kind of
stuff? Right, if there's one thing I could talk about MGS4, that is its relation to MPO. That's what we're calling Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops, because that's such a freaking long name. But yeah,
sounds like a new Pontiac.
The reason why we're calling it, actually started off as MPO. It didn't have a name. It was just an acronym. And it was Mr. Kojima's idea to have it sound like NPO because it's like a nonprofit organization. We're putting so much money into this game that
like a Kojima.
Yeah, actually, I asked Kojima that question at E3, and he talked about it for like 15 minutes. I thought that was like the funniest thing ever. NPO.
And you're like, fuck, I only have 15 minutes left now. He's talked about NPO for 15 fucking minutes.
That was more or less it, yeah.
Right, so I mean, it is canon to the Metal Gear Solid series, right? So it's a direct sequel to Snake Eater, and it's set in 1970, so that's six years afterwards. So it does connect up, it links up with MGS4, and characters that appear in MPO, they appear in 4, and what occurs in MPO has... You can see the outcome of it in MGS4. So,
what's is MPO the formation of what we know as Outer Heaven?
It's an early chapter in Big Boss's life. Everybody knows that he's going to create Outer Heaven, but I don't think you can do that in one game. It's to set up everything for what happens.
Yeah, so there's going to be another game to continue that.
Right. So in other words, I mean, we have 30 years of fiction here.
Right. And to get from the big boss at the end of Snake Eater to the big boss that we know is like a villain,
right,
who's Snake's father, and to get to that, it's a big leap, and we haven't gone there at all.
Right.
So.
And alternatively, would you want us to explain that all in one game? Yeah. I mean, the big boss is a pretty cool character, and I was excited when I first came on the project that when I heard that this is not just going to be about how he builds Outer Heaven. It's how he starts getting to this point. And a lot of big things happen in the game. And there's two things on the top of my head that when you beat the game, you're gonna say, okay, there's these two points about Snake Eater that we reveal that's going to blow your mind. And I can't wait for you guys to play it.
That chick has a dick, doesn't she?
Shit.
Ava has a dong. Scoop.
I knew it.
Dude, hermaphrodite sexy. Yes.
They zoomed in on those boobs. I was like, they're not showing you something.
Yeah, but we do reveal some stuff that's like is maybe not as shocking as what Luke revealed.
Luke
but...
channeling Randall there.
But yeah, I can't wait for you guys to play it because I think... For the people that beat Snake Eater, you guys are gonna be like shocked and say, "What did you do?
Nice.
What are you doing?" You know.
Nice.
So is the whole 30 years already written, or is he making it up as he goes along?
No, it's decided. It's decided.
It is? So the whole fiction exists
to a certain extent. Like, we haven't written the script for every single game.
So is it like Star Wars, or is it like
Matrix? I was going to say the Anakin arc is already, exists.
That was defined recently or ages ago?
I don't know about how George Lucas did it back in the 70s, but we do have a pretty detailed account of what happens sentence by sentence, year by year.
So you guys there is
over so there's a Bible.
Productions. There's a story Bible.
Yeah.
Could you get that to us, maybe?
Yeah.
You could fax it over.
One of the ideas going into next year is to make it easier for, this is going to help prep MGS4, is to make it easier for players who haven't played every single game in the series to understand just what exactly is going on in this universe. Because like, there's all these different, these returning characters in 4.
Storybook confirmed.
DVD, a pre-order confirmed.
Nope. That's different.
Keep guessing.
Digital graphic novel.
Yeah. PS3 confirmed.
It's downloadable content. If you want to know,
can we confirm more damn shit on this show? We have to do with
Metal Gear.
Oh, it's like it's empty-ish.
Metal Gear Story Time podcast featuring Ryan Payton every week.
Confirmed. And Shane Bittenhausen, because now we're on good terms. Now that I know,
yeah, I didn't know you were such a hater.
360 to fail.
I have a 360. I've been playing 360 a lot lately.
There's always that underlying. I know we're going back to.
I've been playing it a lot lately.
I have.
You know, I just got this impression, you're like, Gears of War is pretty good.
I was actually talking to people when Phantasy Star Universe first came out. Me and Brian were like, yeah, Shane's on. I sent him a message. Does he know how to use the microphone? I'm not sure. Does he know how to find a message and send it to him?
Ironically, I do know how to use the microphone. Too bad it doesn't actually work in Xbox Live.
Oh. Hey,
this is true.
It's a real problem. Salt in the wound, indeed.
No one's going to
argue that. Big problem.
Yeah. That's okay. I mean, at least it has an online Sony.
Wow.
Touche.
We're going to have to talk about that Phantasy Star Universe sometime, by the way. That's just kind of aside.
I'm going to start playing it again because there's actually some new content coming.
But it's not really.
It's out now. The new content's out. I'm playing it right now.
It seems not really be really going any place on 360.
Yeah, it's, I called it how long ago? Long time ago. I had a bad feeling about it. My bad feeling has been vindicated. But we have hope.
Didn't think this was going to happen.
It looks like a lot of people are playing it on PS2 and PC.
Well, it has problems regardless of what platform you're playing it on. But there is hope with the next phase of what they unlock. It's kind of bullshit that they make you wait a month to play the game, but... I mean, it's pretty limited what it's shipped with. And I mean, I think Shane, your review said it, really well. It's like you have to review the game that it has now, but you have a feeling a month from now it would have a different score.
Right.
Back in Japan
for PSU, it was a huge hit. The first week sales for PS2 were
It was such a huge hit that the server crashed and was down for four straight days.
Dead Rising had a great first month in America, too.
Dead Rising did fine in America.
Well, then they
for a month.
Then they quadrupled the marketing budget, then it didn't sell anymore.
Yeah, no, dude, it went from like 484 the first month to
25. It went to like 700,000. They shipped 1 million. Like, they're really happy with Dead Rising.
Forecasting from the future.
No, it
shipped 484,000 copies, and then they quadrupled the marketing budget, and then it sold 25,000 more.
I mean, is there any game with legs on 360 now?
Well, no, it's like what John has said on 18 shows in a row. Like, 360 users go from one game, like, 1 week, everyone's like, oh, Saints Row! And the next week, they're like, oh...
Star Wars Lego!
Yeah, Lego Star
Wars!
Like,
all my friends are playing Prey for 4 days.
Yep.
But now it's really confusing, because do you play Gears of War, or do you play Viva Pinata?
Well, if you play Viva Pinata, a lot of people are
Xbox fans,
offline.
Two games, mind explode.
Well, I'm bummed because we just got Gears of War into the office the day before I left to come hang out with you guys. So I'm going to go back. I was so pumped up playing Gears of War, but I think when I get back, it's going to be midnight or some really late here in San Francisco. But Mark, you said that before you even touched the first stage of single player, let's play co-op.
Yeah.
Just make sure you're playing
on
with Mark. Absolutely. Because Mark is a demon in that game.
Yeah, I heard he's the man, especially the chainsaw.
Well, Ryan, I've told you this, and when I got Zelda, everything else ceased to matter. I actually totally forgot that I had a PS3 or a 360 anything else.
Those ground textures are great.
This sucks because my life
looks beautiful.
Yeah, because you know what makes a great game? Ground textures.
Exactly.
You're so right, Luke. Tell me some more pearls of wisdom from your mouth.
I mean, that Link and Oprah have the same ass is just awesome.
That's so sad. I'm so sorry for you. Ryan, your family.
Whatever. I mean, right now, I'm either probably in Indianapolis watching the Colts celebrating, or I'm probably playing that silly game.
Which means he's not getting laid.
Oh. Confirmed.
He already did that. It's pretty quick.
So when you get back to Japan...
How do you know?
We're going to draw this thing to a close. When you get back to Japan, what are your Japanese friends all going to be bugging you about? What was America like? What's the question? What is the question they're going to ask you?
They're going to ask me... Well, they're going to ask... All my friends are in the studio. Like that's what my life is right now. And they're going to ask me, how was the response to MPO? Everybody wants to know because this is the first time we've really unveiled it.
And what are you going to tell them?
And I'm going to tell them that it was good. I think that I think we've done something special with the game, and that it's a Metal Gear Solid game, but we're doing something different.
It's not what you'd expect. I was pretty surprised when I saw the single player game and how different it was than everything previous I'd seen.
Right, it plays like Metal Gear Solid in terms of when you're in the stage, when you're sneaking around, when you're grabbing guys from behind, and it's got all those elements. It's straight from Subsistence, but when you're outside of that, when you're choosing the main scenario, or if you're going outside and going to submissions, or if you're beefing up different units and you're playing it not as Snake but as other characters, that's when it really feels fresh, and I'm pretty excited about it. I can't wait for people to get their hands on
it. It's a lot more tactical and open ended than
you expect. Are you concerned at all that the PSP's install base isn't going to allow it to thrive like it should?
I think isn't this the game that people bought the PSP for? I mean, not for Metal Gear exactly.
No, that was
but,
Gran Turismo.
Well, I thought it was Grand Theft Auto. I thought it was Lumines.
Well, I mean, just like bringing the big franchises from the place of the consoles, the PlayStation consoles, to PSP, not as a port.
It's called PlayStation
port.
Portable, right.
But as a
PlayStation ported,
but as an original take on a series, and I think that's what we've approached the game as. And Grand Theft Auto has had success at least with Liberty City Story, so I'm hoping that we'll have similar success with MPO. Well,
we appreciate you sitting down here, hanging out with us, talking about the game, chatting about it, and talking more about even like what it's like being in Japan, journalism, both sides of the equation for us. We'll be back in just a minute. We're going to have some news and some follow-up impressions now that we've had Wii's and PS3's out in the wild for a week.
Pass the turkey, Garnet.
We'll catch you in a minute.
Views and opinions expressed during the One Up Yours podcast are absolutely and undeniably 100% correct. If you dispute them, well, that's your prerogative, but you're wrong.
All right, we're back and ready to dive into some real-world, non-journalist impressions of the two new consoles. I'm going to start off with PS3 because the funny thing about the PS3 thread is that it sort of just turned into a fight over whether a machine was worth $600 or not. Mm. Notice the thickness of this list of impressions versus this one that's the Wii. Wow. This one's a lot heavier.
Yeah.
Which one are you referring to as seeing for those that aren't able to see
the
sound?
The PS3 one, very thin, and degenerated really into just a lot of bickering. A lot of, oh, well, what's a $600 game? And, the machine's good, the machine's not good, whatever. We just wanted impressions of what you guys thought who got it. I guess the other point is a lot of folks didn't get them to play them.
You know who didn't get one? And I sent you a link about it this week.
go ahead.
Indy didn't get one. He's like one of the ardent PS3 defenders on the boards, and he got left out. Oh. And I just wanted to point out that was karma.
Indy, if it makes it up to you, I did actually name my fudge hog in Viva after you.
So sounds like about the right.
I think that will make him feel better. I think that'll make up for it.
Just hey, I told him I would do it. That was like the first one. I was like, you know what?
Why did you pick the fudge hog specifically?
I don't know. You know what? I think it was the beady eyes or something. I was like, Jesus. That's
not the fact that it's called a fudge hog.
No, I wasn't trying to call him out or anything. I'm just it looked cool. It was the first one I knew I was going to keep too. I mean, like
my
throw
fudge
away.
Hog's called something much ruder.
Oh, I bet.
Dark Star.
We know all about you, Brit. Brits and your scat.
Starfish, the fudge hug.
What is it, by the way?
That's so good because you can just do dumb shit like that. That's like the best part of that game.
I have two fudge hugs, chocolate starfish and fudge packet.
Aren't you playing this game with your kids?
That's why it's so good.
Well, you got to teach them early. There's that whole UK scatological humor thing. What is it with that?
I don't know. We like ass.
Wow. So, anyway, Gamer X says that he got one, and he was honestly disappointed. He got upset about the resolution issue. He played Resistance, but wasn't just completely overwhelmed by it. Tefezer got one, and he says that he didn't really miss Rumble. At least, he doesn't think he did. Which means that, I think what he's saying is he got so caught up in playing the PS3 and the excitement
launch
of
goggles.
Right. Justifying that $600 by thinking Ridge Racer 7 was awesome.
Right, Adam Skashkalashka,
He bought a PS3 I would have never guessed.
Yeah, surprise, right? But anyway, he said the same thing. He didn't miss Rumble at all, and he did like the lighter weight of the
controller. See, I'm still not used to that.
You have problems with the whole controller setup.
The having to plug in your controller to sync it and having to every time hit the little button to say this is the first controller or to turn the system on, and then the fucking foot and a half, the fucking 6-inch cord that it comes with. Like, I'm sorry, my
Which
couch is
great.
Farther away.
Works great when your controller runs out of juice.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, how much can that cost? Like, fucking throw another penny in there and give me another couple feet on the goddamn controller. I don't have to think about it with the 360.
You don't want
to
sit a foot away from your new fucking 745-inch
exactly
1440Q resolution TV screen.
You have to sit on the fucking floor. Like, pissed me off. Like, such a small detail, but something that really, like, pissed me off.
What's going to be great is when he pulls his PS3 off the shelf with that thing and it smacks the ground.
I've already fucking jacked the thing out of the controller thing twice. And then, oh God, okay, something else. I had a USB keyboard hooked up, works with my 360 fine, hooked it up to my PS3 to do all that billing bullshit that you have to do to log in. For whatever reason, it accepts everything except for numbers and the enter key. So this is me. I'm
billing,
sitting on the couch.
Like, not, you know.
I'm sitting on the couch. I can type in everything, the address and whatever, but then I got to go back to the fucking controller, put in the numbers, go back to the keyboard, type in the rest of it, go back to the controller, hit enter. Like,
Why don't you just use the T9? You're T9
someone
master.
Should have just
Fuck
made,
the T9.
Someone should have just made a video of you trying to set this shit up.
Well, and it was a Microsoft keyboard, so I'm wondering if they fucking put that in there just to fuck with that.
All Microsoft keyboards
makes
locked out.
Curse a lot.
It does. The crowd played some Tony Hawk, and he says that the tilt action in THP8 isn't very smooth, and so he actually just wound up turning it off, just blew it off, said,
Big shock.
Yeah.
What do you think of the online?
Oh, wait.
See what you did there.
He says he did say that from what he played, it felt a lot better than the demo on the 360, which surprised me because it's the same damn game. But, you know, hey, if it felt better to him, I can't argue.
Controller's lighter, maybe, like that.
He just spent $600, dude. Let him feel
that
better.
That shit felt awesome.
He also has Marvel Ultimate Alliance still in the wrapping. His advice was to tell people to wait for the price drop to get it if they want it for themselves.
You're going
to
be waiting a long time.
Longshot 56 kind of probably agreed with him because he got one, and he's impressed with the aesthetics. I mean, the aesthetics of the unit.
Of a huge, giant black box.
I thought it looked really cheap.
Yeah. I hate the way it looks.
It looks like
Nick's
shrugging and giving a look.
I think it looks nice, and it is very quiet.
Okay.
It is very quiet.
We're
going
to get to that in a second.
I will give it
that. The quiet definitely gets props for being quiet.
Definitely.
Anyway, Longshot 56, his comment on it was that the games are not up to par with the capabilities of the system, which... I mean, we don't know that for sure one way or the other.
Well, hello, launch games. Like, launch games are never going to be capabilities.
Imagine how bad these games would have looked if it actually had launched one of the two other times it was supposed to.
God. If it would have launched in March, Fantavision 6000.
Confirmed.
Pro Player Hater.
And Ridge Racer, probably.
And Ridge Racer.
Pro Player Hater jumped in quite a bit. And one of the first things I got to tell him right off the bat is he says... Madden looks better on PS3. Man, I don't know what television you're playing on. No, you see, we figured out the resolution problem. So as you noted in your post here that we didn't figure it out and didn't... Yeah, of course we played it in 720p. What am I, stupid? Jesus.
That's a rhetorical question, listeners.
God, after we figured out
don't
how
start
to...
start a thread about called Is Garnet Stupid. No, really don't.
Thanks. Love you too, honey. No, start one about British and their ass fest fascination.
Hey, wow. So
there's nothing wrong with liking ass.
Speaking of brown or black, we did have the resolution figured out. He said so. Pro Player Hater had a lot of defense over specific games. You should definitely look at that in the thread because he obviously is enjoying his a lot. I thought you guys would like this. He says the mad rush over the PS3 is the strongest indication that the PlayStation name is still the heaviest of hitters.
Dude.
Dipshits, who is buying them from eBay's?
I thought you were calling us dipshits.
Well, he calls people who are doubters of this dipshits. Who's buying them off eBay? Martians? Who's buying them? No one.
I spent about an hour trawling through eBay on Monday this week, and eBay was listing, if you typed in PS3, it came back with 12,000 results.
Luke's got some details on that coming up on news, so I just thought I'd tease that a little bit.
I couldn't find anything over the reserve price that had a bid on it. Everything was offers under the reserve, or it was bids on something that had no reserve. And on Monday, the best indication of any activity I found was one that closed end of day Tuesday, and the current bid was $330.
It's a good time.
So the guy who put his up with a reserve price of $259,000.
Yeah. Well, even on Saturday, people were only Saturday after launch, they were going for about 1,000. So it's only natural that's going to.
4x, 5x.
Are we going to hit this in a minute?
There's a lot with a reserve of, like, there's a lot with games with a reserve of about 1,500, and none of them have any bids on them.
So
there's also a lot with a reserve of 10,000, which is just insane.
Good luck with that.
Let's go positive. Let's give the Wii its due, because overwhelmingly the responses to the Wii thread were positive, and they were about the games and about people playing the games and having a good time.
People like, really like the Zelda player.
They like the Zelda player. They do like it a lot. Then, matter of fact, Fiendwagger starts off talking about how he likes
who?
The
Fiendwagger?
Fiendwagger.
Oh, Fiendwagger.
He's a sugar dumpling apple tart.
That might be Wager.
Fiendwager. Oh, yeah. Probably so.
Literacy, one of the most important parts of One Up Yours.
I'm part of the George Bush legacy.
Jesus.
People don't like it when we get political.
That's right, they don't. Anyway, the design.
Except when we're creating Miis.
He liked the design of the system. He thinks the controllers is top notch. He's also really happy with the backwards compatibility. No problem with the GameCube memory card, Super Mario Sunshine, Metroid Prime, Wave Birds. Everything works the way it's supposed to.
The Wave Bird definitely works.
Yeah. Yep. Does Ikaruga work? Has anyone tried Ikaruga?
I don't see why not. Why wouldn't it?
Why wouldn't it?
I don't know. I just feel like that would be the one game.
he's just trolling.
No, I really want to know if it does.
It was random shot in the dark. Everyone's all over the composite cables, which you can attest to.
Good God. That, I mean,
that's the big complaint.
It's a completely valid complaint. I mean, they just completely dropped the ball. Like, that, the difference between playing on any kind of LCD TV with composite and component is just huge. And it's almost like I tell people, you know, I was telling John Riccardi, like, don't play Zelda until you can play it with component cables.
That sentiment's actually echoed by a couple of posters in here. And once you get the cable, you actually have to go into the dashboard function of the Wii and change a setting, right?
I
couple of the
remember,
guys said a couple of guys said you do.
Well, you want to change it to 480p,
right?
So you do need to change it if you want it to 480p, right? It's going to look better no matter what. Because just the color separation,
right,
and
color
all of
separation.
That. But yeah, if you want progressive, you do have to go into the console.
Sith, his impression, he says his impressions weren't quite as positive to everyone, but I mean, they're still not bad. He says the Miis are awesome. Everybody loves the Miis.
Miis fun.
Lots of people are echoing that. He said the most fun he had was watching his college-age girlfriend act like a fool with the Wii.
Yeah.
Man, you hope that they hope figure that out in high school, really. By the time they're in college, you want them to have some experience.
All right, anyway. He thought the nunchuck felt flimsy and cheap.
Yeah, the nunchuck is, I mean, it's just so light. It's like the PS3 controller. I mean, there's just nothing inside it. It just feels kind of a little cheap just from the fact that it's light, I guess.
Talking about some of the games, Roasted Locust said that it was important to him to get in and actually adjust the aiming sensitivity in the Zelda options to get it to where it felt right to him, that he was having a little trouble with it, and after he adjusted the options, it really synced for him.
Interesting. I tried those options because I kind of wanted to adjust them, but I found that the default ones work best.
Gray Fox Tastical definitely agreed with Michael Donahoe's review in Red Steel. The sword sections, could they be any worse?
Oh, I feel bad for that dude that he made a personal investment.
He bought Red Steel.
Yeah.
That wasn't worse.
I think a lot of folks did.
Trade it.
On a whim, I had a recommendation when playing Zelda to just try relaxing, to not like be so tense holding the Wiimote and the nunchuck, that he's been able to play. And actually, Red Swirl echoed the same thing, saying he's actually been able to sit down and play in like probably 50 different positions.
You know what is terrible, though? I was lying down on my couch.
The Kama Sutra of Zelda.
The Kama Sutra of Zelda Nunchuck.
you really don't have to be doing much, but I'm lying down on my couch like this, and you guys can't see, but I have my hands to either side of my swimsuit area. And every once in a while...
He does. He's
I'm lying back on my couch.
Towards his swimsuit area as we speak.
And I'm lying back on my couch. This is Nunchuck. You know, right hand is the Wiimote. And, you know, with Zelda, basically the left-right motion with the Nunchuck is what makes you do the flip attack. I forget what it's called, but there's a couple instances where you really have to do it, you know, right then, and it was left, right, bam, right on the sweet spot with the nunchuck.
God, you punched
Thank God nobody was at. I hit myself in the nuts with the nunchuck on accident.
We may have to start a thread on the board of nunchuck injuries.
So it's funny because 1UP had that
Wii injury
story, and I'm like, okay, it didn't have the one thing that has actually happened to me.
No, I think
we
you'd hear a lot more of these
too. The genital edition,
McTuckey,
my swimsuit area. God,
McTuckey actually listed that he's like injury report number one in sports tennis. My brother bloodied his knuckles on the ceiling fan after a nasty cross court backhand.
Holy shit!
Wow,
is he like 10 feet tall?
Yeah, did he? I got to get to that really fast and jump off the couch.
See, now you know why fucking Nintendo game starts with the warning of you know.
You never know. It might just be a low ceiling in the trailer.
Oh, nasty.
Oh, wow. They don't need to worry about component cables then, right?
Anyway,
double down.
They need an RF adapter.
Wow. Just to bring it back from McTuckey.
Jesus, make mine a makers.
He makes some other good points. One of the points he brought out is, as a lefty, it was frustrating that some of the mini games in like Rayman don't take into account that southpaws could be playing the game. So that's kind of interesting. The control's not necessarily ambidextrous.
You know,
the way the control... I don't know. How would that be?
Yeah. How would that be with a controller that's inherently not one or the other?
Yeah.
I guess we'll get an explanation from him.
It doesn't use... Unless it uses the nunchuck. I mean, the thing with Zelda was...
Can you just switch hands?
Yeah.
You would think so, right?
I mean, Miyamoto, who is left-handed apparently, still said it's better to play Zelda with the nunchuck in the left and the Wiimote in the right and don't switch anything, so... I don't know, for what that's worth.
He pointed out a couple of specific games. Anyway, check out the thread or McTuckey come back and give us the exact reason for southpaws not enjoying it. Cool Rats is definitely having, like, the hoped-for Nintendo experience. He's like, I picked up my Wii this morning, got it running sometime in the afternoon. The buddies all came over to watch the Lions lose again.
Oh, welcome to being in Detroit.
So by halftime, we were having kick-ass, drunken Wii boxing and golf matches.
That's interesting, because like everyone around here seems to hate Wii boxing, and I've seen a lot of people say that they're really enjoying it.
Well, what Garnet didn't read was after the drunken Wii boxing part, everyone took off their shirts and had pillow fights and tickled each other.
I will say also, the loudest I heard EGM get all month was playing Wii boxing. Like the Donahoe versus Intihar, they were really into it, so... for what that's worth.
In real life, that would be a dismantling
by
Brian Intihar.
It would not be pretty, yeah.
True Nerd echoed something I've heard a lot, which is that the speaker on the Wiimote is a good idea, but the execution leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, the quality on the speaker is pretty crappy, and that was done to keep the power on the batteries, the sapping on the batteries relatively low.
It's got the sound quality of a rotary phone in 1982 with about as much customization of volume.
Along with the Miis, one of the things everyone seems to agree about also is how nicely designed the interface is between, like, you know, the background music that's cool, the graphical layout of it.
The vibration when you mouse over something on the menu.
Yeah.
You like that?
No. They're praising that shit on the 1UP show.
That's great.
I guess the only other part, really, that people seem to have a complaint about is online. There's been some troubles, apparently, with speed, especially of connection and slowdowns and disconnects.
That whole breaking the console thing that we'll talk about in a little bit.
Right. So there's been some problem with that. And then there's always, as DQ Hot Eats Cool Treats brings up...
is that his whole name?
How does that fit as a name?
That's like his special name, you know. He's like DQ.
Oh.
And then like his...
His tag is
his tag is Hot Eats Cool Treats.
Oh, those clever mods.
I know.
Oh, give them raises.
It makes a good point, though, is the Nintendo's idiotic friend code system. It's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, like I was talking about the other day, like if you took all three of the consoles that we had and like took what each one's doing right and combined them into like a super console, I would be happy.
Yeah, and he had some more just like basic stuff, like if what good is a friends list if you can't chat in real time? And by the way, why do I have to be a wireless networking expert? Why is there no Ethernet port on the back of the damn thing?
Yeah, and something else with the friends list, it's actually like kind of hard to find your friend code. Do you know where the friend code is on your Wii console? Like it's not in the menus. It's in the address book of all places.
Yeah, no. So why would a console that's supposed to be for your average gamer, your average human being, not your average gamer, your average grandma, why does Grandma Ethel use wireless? What's the deal? That doesn't make sense, Nintendo. Why is that consistent? Messaging.
There you go. So we'll keep an eye on the threads. We'll see if the new hotness comes up there, if you have something like, you know, really important you would break out as a separate
What's
thread,
the next big Wii game that's coming out?
Like Mario, right?
Mario, Metroid Prime,
yeah.
The next year, though, right?
Yeah.
Some then
Smash Brothers.
What's the next big PS3 game? I mean,
MotorStorm.
No,
there's
before that,
in early December, right?
Heavenly Sword. You have the launch games that were supposed to come out.
All right, so December 12th is Fight Night. There's
Which When's Oblivion now?
Rainbow. Oblivion's next year. You're kind of like, if you got a Wii or a PS3, you're kind of stuck with what you got for a while.
Yeah.
It's, you're going to have a little drought.
That's usual
for launches. Yeah, well, like the 360 owners had that long drought last year.
Mm-hmm.
But 360 owners are going to have what, like Lost Planet and...
At least, with Wii, Zelda, if you have Zelda, that's going to keep you busy for about, you know, two, three times.
The rest of the weekend.
So it's going to be interesting to come back. It's going to be interesting to come back to this, like, the week before Christmas and see how people are actually playing with their PS3s and Wiis in the middle of their drought, like the 360 owners had last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you're playing is going to be kind of weird.
Well, and more importantly, what's coming off the message board. So we'll look for that again in about 3 or 4 weeks. How about the rest of the world? What's going on out there, Luke?
Bill O'Reilly hates video gamers.
And he
hates,
big shock.
He hates people, I guess, in general.
But Bill, don't agree with him.
Yeah, well, Bill O'Reilly said this on the Radio Factor, which is his wonderful radio program. What we have is a large portion of the population, mostly younger people under the age of 45, who don't deal with reality ever.
Hold on. See, Shane, I'm still a younger person.
Yeah, if you're Bill O'Reilly, who seems to be moving that ceiling on what makes someone younger up a little.
Whatever.
Like, he's talking about people who waited in line to get PS3s. And another comparison that he made was video games to hard drugs. Mm. Waiting for that PS3 was like waiting for that hit of cocaine to Bill O'Reilly.
All right.
Brilliant.
And I don't know. I mean, Bill O'Reilly, I guess, is mainstream media, but like as far as him taking a dump on anything, like that's kind of what you'd expect. But what you wouldn't really expect to see is someone like Seth over at the New York Times just drop trow and squeeze one out on the PS3's chest.
Can you tell Luke went to see Tenacious D this week?
Yeah, last night, actually. It was basically like seeing God.
Yeah?
In hell. The D's backing band consisted of Colonel Sanders on drums, Charlie Chaplin on bass, and the Antichrist on electric guitar.
Oh,
fucking sweet.
Awesome.
But Seth Scheisel, who was kind of high on the PS3 after Gamers Day, if you remember, published a story in the New York Times earlier this week, and the conclusion that it reaches is that maybe in 6 months the PS3 will be it'll be like a finished piece of hardware, but right now it's not. And that's something that, I mean, we've been saying for a while. And who else in mainstream? What, Time? Was it Time?
Yeah, Time today. It's not worth the hype or the price.
The PlayStation Store is sort of, when you come out a year later, you'd think that you would have taken some of the functionality that the console that beat you out had added and, like, just patched, so you're just right there with them. But the stuff like the continuing downloads in Xbox 360 that the Xbox 360 has, the PlayStation Store has that same problem that it used to have. Where now if you cancel a download in the middle from the PlayStation Store, you have to start all friggin' over again. There's no background downloading. I mean, as far as like coming to market a year later, like that should be an opportunity to sort of like catch up because you're already a year behind just in terms of reaching the market. But that something like the PlayStation Store is still behind. I mean, Shane sat on the show. He sat on the show for like the last 6 months and talked about how it would have every bit of functionality that
absolutely,
Xbox Live
exactly,
does, and
and
it absolutely does not.
Well, something else also that really bothered me about the PlayStation, that still bothers me about the PlayStation Store, and actually the whole setup thing in general, was a lot of the menus seem built around you having a mouse, and you don't, and you can't even control the pointer with the thumbstick on some of them. And so the PlayStation Store itself, the UI is completely built like iTunes, which is, hey, guess what, most people have a mouse when they're navigating it. It kind of sucks using a D-pad. It's just not as nice.
Well, when they showed it at Gamers Day, everyone thought, I mean, I thought too, it looked really slick. The store, actually, the design looked really slick, so it's just not functioning. It's just not functional.
Well, it looks nice. It looks like iTunes. iTunes works great if you have a mouse. But, I mean, clicking around and moving around with the D-pad, I just find it really, I mean, all the buttons are very small, and, you know,
Think about web design. Luke, looking great and working great, not necessarily related.
Yeah, web design.
That hits a little close to home, Garnet.
Huh?
That hits a little close to home.
Yeah, that does. You know what? The media story hit a little close to home, too. I'm surprised that big outlets like the New York Times and Time Mag, I'm surprised Microsoft was able to get to them and buy them off like that.
Microsoft's power is limitless.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
They're able to buy everybody off.
Yeah, they're gonna own the New York Times soon and Time. It's going to be sweet.
Pretty amazing.
We talked about it a little bit earlier, and we'll jump back to it real quick. Patrick Klepek wrote a story about the PS3 eBay auctions cooling off, and he has some. And this was from Monday morning, and he said that as of Monday morning, there were 20,639 listings for PS3 machines.
Good
God. And the newest auction that was about to end, the starting bid was $2,300, and it had no bids. The one immediately below, and he doesn't say if it had a reserve or not, had 15 bids on it, but the price on that was only $1,100.
You know, we jokingly talked about, you know, about eBaying and people, a lot of people doing it. I don't know about you, but I was actually thinking, or hoping at least, that a lot of people standing in line would be getting units, and that, yeah, there would be some eBay activity, but it wouldn't be like this. If there's 20,000 already on there, and you know a lot of people are sitting there with them in their closets waiting for the fallout, how many people actually bought the damn thing to play it?
Well, I mean, one thing that surprised me is the day after the launch, I got on Resistance and tried to play some ranked matchmaking games. I couldn't find a game. Oh. And then I went to Show All Games, and I found about, I'd say about 13 or 14 games, some of which were 40 players, but that's not that many.
That's a handful of a few hundred people.
So, yeah, take that for what it's worth.
Unbelievable. We should keep watching that and try and, like, you know, just brainstorm and see if we can come up how many numbers actually wind up on eBay. It's unbelievable.
Says Ken Kutaragi, who Newsweek put a story together this week that says that John Snorting.
Segue of the year. Right
there. It's unbelievable.
Kutaragi was allegedly tardy on securing PlayStation 3 exclusives, and we've had, like...
Tardy or something else?
Tardy.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I was using it. I was using the right word.
Not tarded.
No, I'm not going to. I think I can say that, though. But Newsweek reported that Kutaragi dropped the ball on both Grand Theft Auto 4 and Assassin's Creed as far as securing exclusives. There's a little bit of, like, a discrepancy in the story just because Assassin's Creed was built first on, like, PC 360 architecture, and then they started building on PS3, and you can sort of trace that in the way the game was developed and announced and, like, the Ubisoft leak list. And, Allegedly, Newsweek says that Ubisoft was trying to court a PS3 exclusive deal. And if you think back to, like, the success of PlayStation and PlayStation 2, both PlayStation and PlayStation 2 had critical third-party exclusives that were boosting and expanding its user bases throughout. And if you think about the climate of gaming right now, PlayStation 3 does not seem to have an exclusive like the Grand Theft Auto IP. I mean, like, they have Final Fantasy, and Final Fantasy's...
Devil May Cry can be powerful. Resistance definitely has a chance to be powerful.
Metal Gear's...
Well, they've been very focused on the first-party stuff, which, from what we've seen so far, doesn't seem that smart.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what we had been hearing, and I think we've talked about before, is that developers, like, the tools and stuff weren't ready, and they couldn't... The numbers weren't going to be there, and so... They were on their own kind of saying, okay, well, just PS3 exclusive doesn't really make as much sense anymore, so we're going to go multi-platform. I think there definitely has been a larger migration than you saw last gen when Xbox was new and kind of untested, new brand name. There definitely has been more migration, less exclusive titles. And you probably will see a continuation of that.
We said it. When we were talking to Ryan Payton, I think we said it last week on the show too, the firmware upgrade for the PSP that's going to let your PSP and your PS3 do it, that's out now.
It's here. So PSP version 3.
If you want to stop that trailer of Casino Royale when you go to drop one off in the pool, then you can do it and take your PSP with you and watch it on the can.
It's the only way the Browns are going to the Super Bowl this year.
Jesus Christ. Slate wrote a story called Nintendo Don't, The Case Against the Wii. And they actually wrote a counterpoint, too.
By the way, Luke was all over Slate this week.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot of Slate. I didn't realize that they'd been writing about games regularly enough where if I go there after not going there for 3 months, I could occupy myself for 20 minutes. But the one of my favorite quote from the article is talking about the Wii and Zelda. I got a taste of the console condescension while playing the new Legend of Zelda game at a sprawling Wii press preview. During a quest to catch a magical fish, the on-screen directions told me to cast my line by swinging the right controller back, then forward. And when the fish bit, a graphic showed me how to make a reeling motion with the nunchuck. I was annoyed when I couldn't shoot straight, but this was worse. The Wii is T-ball for gamers. I kind of tend to agree.
You know, I wonder if this guy's ever played a Nintendo game before, because Nintendo games, like, spell everything out. They always red, boldface any important word. They say, did you hear me the first time? Yes or no? Should I say it again? Like, that, I don't think that's anything specific to the Wii. Also, that fish, not magical. Shane for a minute in my cadence.
That was Shane. The writer, Eric Sofjo, says that he was in love with the Wii long before they ever met. He was definitely looking forward to the console, and I think he's hurt now that it's not as good as he wanted it to be. WeConnect update, the update that you did to make it so that you could transfer Zelda files around. That's what that's one of the things that that live update did.
Again, another thing ridiculous. You can't save to a removable storage of any kind, in this case an SD card, without updating your Wii via the internet.
So there's a chance when you go to update your Wii via the internet that the update will break your Wii.
Brilliant. Now, it tells you not to turn off your Wii in the middle of the update. Is that if you do that? It's the same thing with the PS3.
No, it sounds like this just happens. This could happen to yours. But Nintendo's going to fix it if it does. They'll send you a new Wii within 3 to 4 days because they just have them sitting around. They're just waiting. They're just holding them to drive up demand. Shortchange supply. Wii Play with the Wiimote in January. Wii Play is one of those, another one of those excellent demo boxes where you'll probably pay, I don't know. This one comes with a Wiimote, so let's say you pay $60 for it and you get like 9 games that are, you know, fishing and table tennis. And that's listed. Oh, it's listed for $49.99 on EB Games. And that's allegedly coming out in January.
It's like Game & Watch with a special controller.
Yeah, great. We talked about it earlier, the Wii component cables shortage. The component cables now are on eBay and like they're doing better than PS3s. No joke. If you want to get the Wii component cables on eBay, you're going to pay like $150 for them right
Jeez.
Now.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And when I say better, I obviously mean like profit margins relative to investment, kids.
Oh, come on. Everybody, don't go buy those on eBay.
So I'm going to be trying to get in on that second shipment of Wii component cables this week.
Get third parties for temporary use or something.
I read something on some message board that like third party Wii component cables were like $60 at Circuit City or something. Like,
all right.
Like,
well,
the bohica is spreading. We haven't talked about Microsoft yet, but they're really happy with their current position and as well they should be. Bill Gates told CNET that he wouldn't change positions with them, meaning the competitors, in a million years. I mean, we know what it's like to be a year late. We feel great about the position that we're in. And of course, sigh, they're going to sell a lot in Japan. You know, Sony can make 80,000 bricks and people would buy them. So the real competition, you're going to see the impact of our innovation and the momentum we have in Christmas 2007. This Christmas story is Xbox 360 is going to sell super well, and they'll sell the rounding error amounts they can make. I don't know what that means, though.
Me neither.
Bill Gates, like, he switched. He was in English code. But Microsoft, you know, I mean, they kind of, I guess they get to gloat a little bit because now everyone else has the hardware shortages and the first-gen hardware problems that they had and still are having. Lost Planet, there's a bundle coming out in Japan, allegedly, and the bundle packaging lists an HDMI output and an HDMI, like, output on the hardware. Microsoft told us this, this is Tuesday, obviously, they told us Tuesday morning that this was a misprint and that they were not going to be supporting HDMI, but just to point at those crazy Asian box arts, a couple weeks ago, there was the hard drive information that leaked from like a Korean Xbox festival or something.
Yeah.
And there will definitely be a bigger hard drive. And I think there will probably definitely be an Xbox 360 with HDMI.
The hardware guy has said
probably definitely.
The hardware guy who comes by and, you know, demos stuff for us, the vice president of hardware or whatever, he's told us several times the capability's there, but they just haven't added the componentry to the motherboard to hook up to the output on the chip. So
what they should do is release an HDMI-enabled 360 at, like, $180 as a core SKU. That's how they should do it. And then you just...
Isn't that, like, if you want the core SKU, though, why would you want the HDMI? If you're going to want an HDMI, you're going to want the...
Well, what if you already have, like, for us...
And just take your hard drive.
And just take your hard drive. Boom. So you're just low-price, you low-ball on the core SKU with HDMI and slap your hard drive on it, you're good to go.
I'd be surprised if it went there. I think if you saw a change, you'd see the core SKU continue to get driven down in price and the premium SKU become like an HD DVD drive HDMI.
I don't want to spend another $400. Damn it. Tecmo and Itagaki are the last two things we're going to talk about. Tecmo responds to the Itagaki lawsuit. And the lawsuit is a sexual harassment claim being made against Dead or Alive and Ninja Gaiden creator Itagaki. And Tecmo has said that the alleged sexual harassment of the former employee never took place, and Tecmo did not issue an unjustified notice of dismissal to the former employee. So they're taking the charges very seriously, and they're looking into it. Itagaki announced a new game, and it's not Ninja Gaiden 2, but he confirmed that Dead or Alive 5 is in the works and in his brain.
It's, oh, goody.
But still, still nothing on that game that actually is really good that Itagaki makes.
In other words, what you're telling me is Itagaki has boobs on the brain.
Yeah. So that's a,
didn't know that.
Yeah.
No connection to the previous story intended.
Yeah, none.
Ever.
Just, well, I always group it by like platform, so that was in the Microsoft segment.
Dead or alive again, huh?
Isn't that exciting? Can't you just...
Oh, can't wait.
I can't wait. Hopefully this time they get like a female character from Mass Effect in it.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Maybe a pinata.
Wow. On that note, I'm going to thank everybody, especially if you're in the States, man, joining us on your holidays. Hope you're having a good one and have enjoyed it. We appreciate you listening. If you're outside the United States and just having like a regular week, we're glad you're here listening too. Come by the message boards. Tell us what you thought of the show. Give us some feedback on your Wiis, your PS3s, if you're playing some 360 or Viva. I'm sure John will be looking for any interesting Viva stories.
Of course.
Of course.
I just love listening to people talk and read what they say about it because it just cracks me up.
This weekend, try setting fire to stuff.
There you go.
Just a little pro tip.
I read something where if you like put a torch up like and direct a creature to go to it, just hilarity ensues.
There you go. So pro tips on Viva. What else you got? Boards.oneup.com. And until next week, we are out.
This has been One Up Yours, a production of the Ziff Davis Game Group and part of the One Up Radio Network. One Up Yours is hosted by Garnet Lee and John Davison, produced by Andrew Pfister and Mike Ng, and is published every Friday afternoon at podcasts.oneup.com and at the iTunes Music Store.
What's up? I'm not in the fucking credits.